KBOO.FM, and Kyle has a list of names to thank.
Yes, I do. First, we have Arthur from Southwest Portland, who increases membership fund. Thank you, Arthur. And he also loves Press Watch, Teresa's show. And there's Linda from West Lynn, who's also a new member and is a big fan of the news and public affairs. And last but not least, we have Marilyn from Southeast Portland. And I'm just going to give a ring of this cowbell in honor of these people. Good old cowbell.
That's a good ringing.
Mm-hmm.
Number to call 877-552-6666. That's time for you to join Zach and Mary and Alexandria and Don and Joanna and Wilfred and Michael and Charles and Carrie and many, many other people who have joined KBOO Radio. Why? Why have they done this? Because they realize that the people who must donate are the people who understand why it's so important. You have to do it. You have to pull other people along. You have to have the shoulders and the circumstances. Let's face it, it has to be the right circumstances to actually pull along 90% of the listenership, slightly less than 90%. We're actually proud of that. I mean, we squeeze that extra 1% or 2% out more than other community radio stations because we're so damn good, and I'm not afraid to say it. 877-552-6666. Now, this is your chance to become a part of what this Cascadian community truly is. This is a part of what makes this little area of the country different. This is the core of resistance in this area in many ways. I don't want to say the core. I should change that.
It's one of the cores.
It's a core.
It's a centralized core. This is one of the important parts, I would definitely say.
Yeah, and I'll just roll that over to Kyle to tell you some more about that.
Ah, yeah, of course. KBOO is just a very important part of the community, and there are a lot of citizen journalists, and also teaches people how to mix sound and how to be broadcasters in general. Presents a lot of diverse, passionate voices, and it really encompasses a true voice of the people, especially with recent political times. If you want to be a one-time contributor or give a monthly contribution, I would say maybe $10 a month. That's probably about the price of a burrito and a beer, which is perfectly reasonable for what KBOO does. And that number, again, is 877-500-5266.
Yeah, 10 bucks a month. That's a great place to start off. That will get you, by the way, we have pledge premiums that we would like to offer to you. That includes some books you can ask. We have, but I would like to suggest T-shirts. We have wonderful T-shirts. We have quite the selections. One of my favorite is done by Air Cascadia's Chris Andre, and it's called the Flower Tower, and I wear that around. We have many designs. We have your size. And when you wear the T-shirt, other people are going to say, KBOO, oh, what's that? And then you get to tell them. And that is social justice work, especially in the context of Trump and the resistance to Trump, which I'll just go right out and say more than I've ever said for any other presidential administration. We're in a crisis. We might as well just be honest about it. And the fight back has been tremendous, and KBOO has been a part of that. You can join 877-500-5266 if you care about social justice, then you're going to have to put out the truth. And in this context, that is a very radical act. That's you. You joining us right now, calling the toll-free prefix 877, calling the three next numbers, which are 500, and the last four digits, which spell KBOO, which spells social justice, which spell truth. 877-500-5266. That's got to be you, and it's got to be now. And, yeah, 10 bucks. Why not 10 bucks? You can probably do that. If you've got 10 bucks in your bank account now, then you will have. And I want to say also, by contrast, I want to say who should not donate, who we don't want to take money from. You know, it's like I was mentioning before, a young woman in Salem got two kids. I mean, every penny you've got is trying to make sure they've got clothing, trying to make sure they just got decent food. You really should not donate. But you, who just heard me and understand that situation, and maybe we're in that situation just a few years back, you need to be the one because you know how important it is. And you have 10 bucks in your bank account, and you can pull that extra load for that person who's in that situation right now. You can do something for her kids. You can do something for all the people. You can do people are listening to us right now with battery-operated radios on a cold, damn sidewalk. Not far from here, we pass them every time I come to KBOO. You know, the triumph of capitalism, the sidewalk tent, for God's sake, it's such a horror, but we've got to fight it. And this is one way we do it, 877-500-5266. Unless you're okay with the situation of capitalism right now, if you just think it's all wonderful, and the people who are on the sidewalks deserve to be on the sidewalks, and you're listening to the wrong radio station. You really need that point on the AM dial. I'm sure you can find it. Otherwise, how about call us, 877-552-66, and Kyle has something to share with you.
Just letting you know about the programming coming up next. At 11, we have Between the Covers. It welcomes author, editor, professor, and unabashed Beyonce fan Roxanne Gay and her new book, Difficult Women. And at 11:30, Words and Pictures looks at Dark Horse's acclaimed new gothic horror series, Harrow County. Thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support during this winter membership drive. If you're not a current member, you can become one by going to kbu.fm/give and clicking on donate at the top right corner. We have a room full of volunteers accepting your calls, and that number again is 877-500-5266. These are all volunteers who decided to take time out of their day just because of their dedication and love for KBOO.
And back to programming.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the screening of The Brainwashing of My Dad, examining the influence of right-wing media on individuals and the nation. The screening takes place on Friday, February 10th at 7 p.m. at the First Unitarian Church in Portland. Jen Senko, who will be present at the screening, tries to understand the transformation of her father from a non-political, lifelong Democrat to an angry, right-wing fanatic, and asks questions about who owns the airwaves, and what responsibility does the government have to keep the airwaves truly fair, accurate, and accountable to the truth? Again, The Brainwashing of My Dad, Friday, February 10th at 7 p.m. at the First Unitarian Church, 1211 Southwest Salmon Street in Portland. More information can be found at kbu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Today, KBOO is celebrating 49 years of community-produced journalism, public affairs, and breaking news.
We've been with you through fascism, neoliberal imperialism, and now, idiocracy.
We're not going anywhere either.
While bicentennials are good and fine, we wanted to make sure 49 got some love and attention too.
Thanks to all KBOO members, past and present, and you, future donor listening in,
we know you're out there.
We appreciate your every contribution and look forward to bringing you homegrown community radio in the decades to come.
So tune in this Friday starting at 7 a.m. going all the way till 8 p.m. for our special news and public affairs
day.
Too late for me now. Can't be undone in me now. Gone down deep within me now. Can't take it out of me now. I was young and free. Like a child, I love to love them.
Good morning and welcome to Between the Covers. I'm your host, Pamela Santos. Today's guest is Roxanne Gay, whose accomplishments in writing and academia are going to unfurl like the credits at the end of Lemonade if I even attempt at being complete. Instead, I'll go with some firsts. Roxanne Gay had her first novel, An Untamed State, and essay collection, Bad Feminist, out both in 2016. But her writing is quite prolific. Get on the interwebs. For people not following the comics world, Roxanne Gay is also the First Lady of Wakanda. She has the distinction of being the first African-American woman to write a Marvel comic title co-written with Ta-Nehisi Coates, the second series for Black Panther, which is World of Wakanda. Difficult Women is her first collection of short stories published just recently by Grove Atlantic. And if you need a reminder, her Tumblr is called Roxanne is spelled with one N. And of course, I followed her first on Twitter before I read anything actually else. Welcome again to Between the Covers and to KBOO, Roxanne.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here. I'll read a short story called Open Marriage. Open Marriage. We are having a heated debate about whether or not yogurt can expire when my husband suggests we stay together but see other people. He says open marriage intrigues him, that he couldn't be happier, but that he read this article online. I tell him yogurt can't expire because it is filled with bacteria. I do not know if this is true, but I have seen commercials about yogurt that mention things like bacteria and the word probiotic, so I feel I have a sufficient command of the topic. I give him a look. I say he's welcome to try to find other women to sleep with, but that I'm fine, and his face falls because he thinks I'm playing a trick on him. I'm not. He has no game, none at all. If I hadn't taken matters in hand, we would still be sitting on his couch in his bachelor apartment, his arms snaking around my shoulder after every yawn. I am not worried. He's the kind of man who gets ideas, but is largely unable to follow through on those ideas. As we talk, he shoves his hands into his jeans. This is something he does often, wearing right through the pockets of most pants. He leans against the kitchen counter. He says he wants cultivating an open marriage to be something we do together. I politely decline once more. I say I'm not inclined to open my half of the marriage, which only confuses him further because I'm quick-tempered and what he calls feisty, which only means I talk back to him and give him head once in a while, and I'm the first woman who has ever done that in his limited experience, so it's still something of a novelty, still something that requires terminology. I take a bite of the yogurt that started our scientific debate. It expired more than 2 months ago, but appears edible. When I dip my spoon into the plastic container, the yogurt gives way easily. It tastes sour. My husband's face is red and sweat beads on his upper lip. He asks if I would seriously be fine with him having no strings attached sex with another woman, and I say, "Yes, baby, of course." He tells me I'm amazing in bed, that it's not about being unsatisfied, and I say, "Yes, baby, of course." I rock his world on the regular, and we both know it. He can barely string 3 words together after we make love. He just lies there trying to catch his breath, muttering, "God damn," over and over. I say, "Good luck, and be safe, and don't you break my heart, baby. Don't you break me." I eat the entire container of yogurt, eat sides of the container until it is clean. I vocalize my appreciation for the expired yogurt and do a lot of elaborate spoon licking. I hold my husband's gaze the entire time. He was a virgin when we married. He looks away first.
As the most benevolent and blessed Beyonce has the beehive, what's your fandom called? Because I'm in that fan club, as you can see me awkwardly fumbling.
Yes.
I just need to know. Yeah, you like very much acknowledge the awkward fumbling.
Yeah, totally. Let's just be honest about it. I'm looking right at you. But no, you're part of the Gaygency.
What?
Mind blown, right? Mind just... Yes. It's so good.
I love it so much.
My friend Saeed Jones gave that to me.
It's like I knew.
Yes. So it's the Gaygency. And the Gaygency is mighty. Watch your backs, people. And imagine me saying something that might have the words letters M and F. Video, and we have to be good girls.
And segue, did you know to do that? Women, the title of your book, which the thing that I like the most about it is it's not about binaries of good girls or bad girls. I think it's pretty obvious in the title, you know. Was that your intent with the stories that you picked for it?
Absolutely. I think nuance is really important, and it's a key component of my writing, both my fiction and my nonfiction. And so the stories in this collection are very much challenging binaries and very much questioning the rigidity of those binaries that women, and men for that matter, are often forced into, because that's easier to deal with than complexity of actual life.
I don't know why we have to still in 2017 kind of be amazed. Like, it was refreshing to see complex female characters. Mm-hmm. Because I mean, we've had Don Drapers and Tony Sopranos and yeah, Walter White and mm-hmm. all of these things. I mean, I want the rise of the dark heroine, because off the top of my head, you have that essay in BuzzFeed, the mm-hmm. Not Here to Make Friends. Mm-hmm. And I was just thinking, okay, well, we have, like, I always loved Nancy Botwin in Weeds. Mm-hmm. Mavis Gray, that was the young adult movie.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Mavis Gray is such a great character.
I love it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's that director's kind of his thing. Mm-hmm. And now there's Jessica Jones, but it's still too few. I think that if I can count.
Too white.
Completely.
I mean, and that's the challenge, because when women of color display complexity, people don't know what to do with that. We're oftentimes just framed as angry. And we are not allowed to be loving, or we're framed as nurturing. And all we do is try and provide balms for the ills of the world. And so I would love to see a black Jessica Jones. Her name is Misty Knight in the Marvel Universe. And there are a lot of unnamed women that have actually nothing to do with the superhero universe that can be complex. I would love to see a Latina woman who is a version of Nancy Botwin, for example, or a black Mavis, or an Asian Mavis. Could you imagine? We'll see. We'll see if we get there.
We're just looking at complexity, right? So just even let's start talking about the story Difficult Women. Mm-hmm. You have different characterizations of a loose woman, crazy woman, and there is some scenes in there that made me think about how those labels are the labels that actually steer a woman's life a lot, actually.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think women are often forced into really, really constrained boxes of what we're expected to be and how we're expected to behave. And conversely, when we behave in ways that make people uncomfortable, that is also labeled. So, for example, a woman goes on a date with a man and thinks that they both had a good time, and they did have a good time. She calls him the next day, and all of a sudden she's clingy or crazy for being human and treating someone well. And so I think it's important to challenge those ideas. And so in the title story, I was very much challenging these preconceived notions we have about women and the choices we make for our lives, for our bodies, and for how we move through the world.
I mean, you really put such detail into how different women just move through public spaces, mm-hmm. like the cat calls.
Mm-hmm. You know, cat calling is just a constant in many women's lives. And certainly there are some women that don't mind it or even enjoy it, and I get that. But for many women, it's just annoying that you're just trying to walk down the street, and there doesn't seem to be anything that deters it. I was very excited when large headphones came back. I just thought, now we're free. But that's not the case. People, men, don't take that as a deterrent at all.
So a lot of what I was really struck by in that, I mean, we're talking about women's bodies, we're talking about men claiming ownership. I mean, obviously, I'm first off looking at the story La Negra Blanca, mm-hmm. and I read that as a horror story.
Yeah, that story was actually a retelling of Nella Larsen's Passing, which is a really fantastic novel. And yeah, I know, like, doesn't that add a layer to it? No. I had reread Nella Larsen's Passing a few days before I wrote this story, and I just thought, how can I sort of remix this story in an interesting way? And it is very much a horror story. It's very much a horror story on multiple levels.
It was, because, I mean, there was definitely from that first story, I Will Follow You, all the way, you know, even in little parts in between too, in short, like, this is not a horror story, but it had a turn in it, a pat. Mm-hmm. It's not about being good or bad. It's actually about actions, mm-hmm. maybe. And all of these little actions just kept adding up to a tight feeling in my chest every time I was reading something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely like to build a narrative and to build that sense of anticipation. And then that's anxiety going to happen at the end. An interesting twist, but I don't want the twist to be, it's not even a twist, but a turn of some kind. A narrative propulsion, and I don't want it to be so surprising that people are like, oh, and now they're on Mars, where it doesn't make sense, where it feels like it's shock for shock value. So, you know, it's a fine balance.
And most of it, I mean, honestly, I'm looking at a lot of the parts of that it's a light hand when kind of, to me, it's a horror story of privilege mm-hmm. and possession, mm-hmm. Exactly claiming.
You know, I think that privilege is in many ways a blessing, but when you have too much privilege, you get intoxicated with it and addicted to it. And in that story, William Livingston III, who is the antagonist of the story, is a man who is wealthy and was born into generational wealth and truly believes that whatever he wants, he can have. And the consequences of moving through the world with that kind of an attitude are devastating. And quite frankly, we can see that in the president-elect. And very, very painfully shortly, the president of the United States, Donald Trump.
So we're recording this the day before the inauguration.
Yes.
The thing that I'm not acknowledging.
Amen. Like, tomorrow is Friday, as far as I'm concerned. And I'm traveling and doing an event tomorrow. So really,
our president is still black.
He's always got black. But, you know, we can see in Trump many of the same things. Generational wealth, a true belief that the world is going to bend to your will, and never being proven wrong. In La Negra Blanca, the horror does build and build and build, and then the climax occurs, and it's this horrible scene, and I don't want to give it away, but some violence happens, and a woman who doesn't deserve the violence is the person who has to suffer it. And as I wrote it, I just thought, yes, this is how it would go. I mean, this is how entitlement works. And not to say that every entitled person commits acts of violence, but taken to the extreme, this is what entitlement looks like. And it was really interesting to work in that space as I was writing the story.
I definitely, the line that made me think of it was, she tells him about men who can't take no for an answer, and other men who allow that sort of thing to happen. She is tired, so very tired.
Mm-hmm. I think that in that story, the character Sarah is just, she sees the world for what it is, and she sees people for who they are. And I think that level of seeing and that level of awareness is a burden as much as it can be a gift.
I mean, for me, I'm looking at that story as, it's actually also her story, mm-hmm. but she, among many others in it, their bodies are colonized. Mm-hmm. It's just another form. Mm-hmm. It's definitely modern, but it's also history repeating itself.
Mm-hmm. Very much so. And at the end of the story, you can see that the cycle is going to continue, and with his son. And that's how these things work. Oftentimes, there is no impediment to entitlement and the violence born of entitlement. It's something that's passed down, and it's something that becomes quite honored in implicit ways, if not explicit.
So I was reading your acknowledgments, and you had some people that you included, like Terry McMillan, mm-hmm. In your acknowledgments. And that made me think about how do people find mentors and stewards, you could say, of their words. And I think of them for myself, guardian angels of their writing too. Advice for writers of color, or at least, you know, writers of marginalized identities. Mm-hmm. What do you have, you know, just to help people just, if they can't find mentors who look like them, what do they do to get through?
I think you should, I mean, it's always nice to find mentors who share lived experiences with you. But I think that you have to be willing to find mentors anywhere. Anybody can mentor you if they are intelligent, and I mean that both intellectually and emotionally, and if they encourage you to grow in ways that you find beneficial. I haven't had a lot of mentors. Mostly because I've lived in really isolated places, and I think just it never even occurred to me. I didn't even really know what it was until I knew what it was. But oftentimes my mentors that I do have found me just through reading my work and taking an interest and then helping me, and that's how I have found the people that I mentor. And But you can also, some of the people that I mentor have reached out and said, will you mentor me? And with as much as I can, I try to say yes. So I think one of the key things that you can do as a marginalized person is ask for the mentorship you need. You might get a no, but you might work with and that you think you can learn from and be able to articulate to them why you think that you guys might have a good relationship and what you can contribute to the mentoring relationship. It is a two-way street. It's a relationship. It's not a one-way street. And so I encourage people to do that.
So thank you so much. I am so eternally grateful to be part of the Gaygency and to also have you on Between the Covers.
Thank you. It's great to be here again.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And you're listening to KBOO Community Radio during our winter drive for the month of February. Right now we have a room full of volunteers taking your calls for a one-time donation or a monthly donation, and that number is 877-500-5266. I'm Kyle, here with Teresa.
Hi.
And real quick, I just want to clarify that was an abridged version of the interview with Roxane Gay, who wrote Difficult Women, and you can find the rest of full on the Difficult Women CD, which is a collection of short stories of rare force and beauty and hardscrabble lives, passionate loves, and quirky and vexed human connection. The women in these stories live lives of privilege and of poverty, are in marriages both loving and haunted by past crimes or emotional blackmail. And you can win this as a gift for a $75 minimum pledge or a $625 monthly pledge, which is just the price of the average burrito in Portland. Again, that number is 877-500-5266.
It's lovely to think that you can have your own copy of what you hand up. Five a month. You got $625 in your bank account right now. You probably have it next month and the month after that. You'll find it relatively painless. So I'm talking about you spending 3 minutes on the phone and calling us at 877-500-5266. And the way to remember it is 877 is the toll-free prefix. 500 is easy to remember, and 5266 spells KBOO. 877-500-5266. Now there's three ways to donate to KBOO. Actually, there's four. One of them is volunteering.
Yes, and my personal favorite way, I would say.
And Kyle, and a lot of people here are doing great work, and very grateful we are to that. I guess we're grateful to each other. It's a kind of a, what did you say, a reflexive thing. But anyway, there's another way. And that is to call us, as I just said. There's another way to, maybe you're listening at kboo.fm right now, and so you just decide to click that button that you see over there on the right and donate. And people have, amongst them, are Kyle of Southwest Portland, Milwaukee in Northeast Portland, Patrick in Northeast Portland, Jenna in Vancouver, Washington, and Ozymandias from Hobart, Tasmania. I made that one up. Actually, though, you can listen to us around the world on KBOO.fm. Why not just click open a tab and get that done while you're still listening to us? I think you'll enjoy that. And I think that you will enjoy having your own copy of Difficult Women by Roxane Gay. We have not just the book, but the CD available to you for that piddling $6.25 a month, a CD of the extended interview, and award-winning author and Livewire talent. Livewire talent Roxane Gay returns with Difficult Women, a collection of short stories of rare force and beauty. I love short stories, and maybe you do too. Call us right now, 877-500-5266, 877-500-KBOO, 877-500-5266, and amplify your understanding of what's being said with this wonderful interview with Pam, and just get yourself a copy of the CD and the book, which you can enjoy forever. $6.25 a month, as Kyle was saying, a mere burrito.
You know what I could go for?
Another burrito?
Oh, that too. But I haven't had lunch yet. But I could go for some cowbell for all the people who donated.
Let's do it. I'm going to give a K-moo for that.
I could ring that cowbell a million times and not get sick of it. And I say that number specifically because maybe by the millionth and first time, I might be like, all right, maybe I'll set the cowbell down.
We have a little one, too.
Oh, yeah, more than one. But for now, like, cowbell around, perfect for this eight-day membership. We have, yeah, people on the phones taking your calls for one-time donations. We recommend calls for one-time. We recommend 625.
And welcome to Words and Pictures, the show all about the narrative arts scene. I'm your host, S.W. Conser, and today we are live in the studio with the creative team behind a comics title that's really taken off lately. It's the Southern Gothic series, Harrow County. Artist Tyler Crook is here in the studio, and writer Cullen Bunn is with us on the phone from Missouri.